Good evening.
Good Hello, James.
Day to you, sir. I said good day.
We won, so I thought I'd come and join this show this week as well.
Thanks. I'll try not to yell at anyone.
I can only assume that it's because I wasn't on the show that you started yelling at people, because when you're on the show, you don't yell when I'm on the show.
It was Jeff's fault.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am not drunk. I, like Jason, am nursing a two-day hangover after a Christmas party where he said 12. Try 12-teen. Okay, like, I'm just going to say, by when we realized it was 2 in the morning, and I think I might have been in a little bit better shape than him, just because I could walk. That's all I'm going to say about that. So then that did make yesterday's game. I don't know how it's possible that you could take a 30-point game and refer to it as boring, but the Saints found a way to make that happen. Taysom Hill only made his fanboys and fangirls more emboldened, especially with that big 40-yard run. So we're going to see what our Dome Patrol thinks about him moving forward. And then apparently there's a COVID outbreak everywhere the Saints go, or have been. So I can't wait to see what happens with our roster between now and the rest of the season. But first, let's talk to Scott. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I do not have a number. I am, I guess, technically still working for the next 40 minutes or so. And I just drove in from Monroe. So no number for me right now. Maybe right. Later tonight.
James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am a big fat zero. I am having a dry December until Christmas Eve, where I will not be dry for 5 days.
So what's your number, though? Westcott.
We know you're a big fat zero, but what's your number?
Thank you.
Right, there you go. So dry December. I thought that was November.
No, it's October.
Sober October.
Sober October.
I thought November was like no.
November's where you grow your mustache.
Not.
No nut November.
No shave. Right.
November. So that's dry.
Yeah. So it's Movember. You grow a.
No shave nut. November.
No. Yeah, and no nut November means no sex in November. Not drinking.
Thanks for explaining that one, Scott. I don't think
understand what it meant. So I felt
I did. When he said dry December, yeah. I was trying to say I thought that was November.
Basically, I'm saving up all of my alcohol for the 5 days over Christmas from Christmas Eve, and I'm just going to drink all day, every day.
Ooh, why?
Well, because I'm off work and I've got nothing better to do.
See, I would have the best laid intentions, but then after the first day of drinking, the level of hangover I would have, like yesterday, there was no way I wanted to drink. Now, actually, tonight I probably could. I could see myself pouring a drink tonight.
It's Christmas Eve, obviously, the night before Christmas. Then Christmas Day is one of the only days where it says acceptable to drink from 8 a.m. Really? And then the day after Christmas Day.
In Louisiana, that's every day.
Yeah, true. And then the day after Christmas Day, which we call Boxing Day, but I don't think you do.
No, we just call it the day after Christmas.
It's the day after Christmas is my mother-in-law's birthday, and we always have a big party for her. So there's 3 days straight off the bat covered.
Oh, yeah, Jeff, we'll have that too, because we have that Christmas party the day after.
Oh, that's right. And that's a drinking party.
It is a drinking party.
Yep.
Nice.
All right, Wes, welcome to the show. What's your number?
No number yet. I will be having one tonight. We've got a nice dinner at a steakhouse here that we're going to tie one on tonight with a celebratory kind of company thing. And by the way, the person who said that the 30-point game was boring is also their sport that they're the biggest fan of is ends in ties all the time and 1-0 games. So that is weird, Jeff. I agree with you.
Interesting. So I think I heard it on the yesterday's instant reaction show.
Do they serve lobster bisque at this fancy restaurant?
Yes. Okay. With lobster.
With lobster. Okay.
I'm going to want a picture.
I want a picture for sure.
I want to know if it's served with a straw or a fork.
Yeah, right.
All right. Let's get into a little bit of the game recap. Which you guys talked a little bit about yesterday, stayed on point, talked a little bit about the game. So I didn't get to watch it because I was driving home. I got to listen to Mike Haas and Deuce do the play-by-play there. And I'm going to say real quick, Mike Haas, awesome choice. I mean, one, I might actually turn down my TV, turn up my radio, and listen to Mike and Deuce call the games from now on. I don't know what it is. Like, I actually really, really like Mike Haas. I think he does a great job calling the games. So I'm going to say that real quick. But the Saints themselves, it was pretty much Alvin Kamara. 60% of the plays, the ball was in his hands. Did y'all see that stat?
I did not see that particular one, but I mean, you could definitely tell. I mean, the Jets defense was horrible against the run. I think they're the worst in the league in just total defense and points given up and against the run. So the way the wind was blowing, literally and figuratively, you knew we were going to probably run the ball. So I'm glad. I mean, Taysom, if you look at last week's game, he had 41 passes attempted. This week was 21. So that's more along the lines of what you want to see out of a Taysom game. I mean, the first half for both teams was pretty horrible. I mean, it was a punt fest. They weren't moving the ball very much, except for, you know, our first driver where he got three. And then, I mean, going into halftime, it was, what, 10-6?
Six, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, still a kind of a close game. And even in the third quarter, there was only 3 points scored by us. The Jets didn't score any. So even then, so really kind of like the Saints games have been, we didn't really kick it into drive until the fourth quarter.
Jeff, where'd you see the 60% stat? I didn't see that. And just looking at it, he carried the ball 27 times. He caught the ball 4 times. And so that's 31 times out of 68 plays.
I thought I read it in the WhatsApp group that somebody had sent or linked out to something where they added up the plays and the snaps, and maybe it was 60% he was on the field for.
No, he was on the field for 74%.
And I don't know. I swear I saw something where it talked about how it was – oh, maybe it was a tweet where somebody was saying how it was the pitch count argument, how everybody was saying he was on a pitch count. But in reality, when you add it all up, he actually, like, touched the ball 62% of the time.
Yeah.
One person was saying he was on a pitch count.
Yeah, just
they happen to be doing the announcing on
happened to be the one with the biggest platform, but yes.
Gunn, welcome to the show. What's your number?
You know, I got that good old midday zero working right now.
That's right.
But we're gonna embrace the I'm on a LSU Ag Center pitch count this afternoon.
I think it's called a puff count.
I'm on a puff count.
Gunn's
not going to overuse his writing implement today. They told us earlier in the week in production meetings that he wasn't going to take 7 pulls off of his pen. He's currently at 13 pulls.
All right. Yeah, I'm not going to search in the middle of the show for where I found it, but I saw it somewhere. And maybe my source was wrong, since my source was Twitter.
You mean Twitter is wrong
sometimes?
Since when?
Ever
60% of the time,
60%
right every time.
regardless, Kamara was important. I just
absolutely. I mean, it definitely looked, and having CJ GJ back kind of gave a pep to the off to the defense. Sorry, and then Kamara gave a step to the offense.
One of the points, you know, this is the first time since 1997 that two BYU quarterbacks faced off in the NFL.
Hopefully it never happens again.
Now you know.
I'll take your word for it.
Now that's accurate, right? Let's see how many. I'm going to give you two truths and a lie.
Well, Taysom was definitely the best BYU quarterback on the field.
I don't even know if that's a compliment.
On the two-point conversion instant reaction show, I think it was US that brought up how everybody was giving Taysom the excuse of the finger for why he was playing like he always plays. And I think it's good for you to point out, like, no, like that's, he actually played the same with the finger. So that either the finger didn't bother him or he played the best game of his life.
He said he didn't bother him after the game or on the fumble. I think he said he just slipped out of his hand. But I mean, that's like Wes said, that's kind of typical Taysom. I didn't notice in the first half, he does throw incompletes, but the ball just looked like it was coming off weirder than usual. It didn't have like a spiral like it usually does, and maybe not the force behind it usually does. I noticed more in the second half, it seemed they were going to more screens and intermediate passes than they were in the first half, which I think helped him considerably. Maybe not having to put as much velocity behind the passes. So
he sailed a few in the first half, didn't he? They went a little bit high.
Yeah. I might have taken him a little while to get used to this.
Well, just too. Last year's when he's played the most quarterback of his NFL career, he had a 51.1 QBR for the year. This game, he had a 54.4 QBR. That's higher. Last year, he played a 98.8 quarterback rating. Yesterday, he had a 96.3, which is just barely lower. I mean, they were basically identical stats and all, except for we didn't lose the fumble.
And this was his first game ever as a starting quarterback where he didn't have a turnover.
He tried.
He did try. He did try, but he didn't have any, so... Maybe he needs a splint on his finger all the time.
He appeared to be very experienced in picking up a loose fumble, though. You know, like when he dropped the ball and it started bouncing around, he goes, wait, I've been here before. I can handle this. Like, he looked very calm and collected. He did not pull a Cam Newton Super Bowl move. He kind of, you know, it's almost like he's seen fumbling football so much that, like, Dennis Rodman used to be able to tell you how a shot was going to come off the rim or the backboard for a rebound. And that's why he was such a proficient rebounder in the NBA. That's how Taysom is at picking up fumbles.
You know how they always would show Drew Brees during pregame warmup and he would do his practice where he would like hop and jump and go through his projections. I think I saw a video of Taysom Hill like practicing the fumble and picking it up on his pregame
warm-up. Scoop and throw, scoop it up. Scoop and throw. That's or he's just diving on the ball.
Like, yeah, that's his routine. Drop it, pick it up, throw it, because what it is.
Do you remember the, I mean, he has to the do XFL? That to the XFL used to, instead of a kickoff, they did that like 10-yard fight. Put the ball in the middle, each guy's 10 yards off of it, and then they blow a whistle, and then they go and they lunge for the ball. Taysom would have been badass at that because he's got like 4-3 speed and a propensity for picking up fumbles.
Yeah, that's true. But he does that. That's strategery because the Saints receivers are not very good this year, and they cannot get open. So when he drops the ball, the defense comes toward him, leaving the receivers. So when he picks it up, now the receivers have about a 2-yard cushion that he can throw it over their heads.
So like far you've said strategery instead of strategic and projections instead of progressions. See, I can't even say it right here. So you're doing it.
Yeah. Well, who you talk? Pot calling the kettle black.
It's still better than Ben.
It's like a flea flicker to himself.
No, I mean, I will say the one thing I was happy about with Taysom yesterday for sure was that he at least more than once in the game broke containment and, you know, decided to run when it wasn't a design run. He could have probably done it a couple of other times. And a couple of the times we did it, like, so he only, outside of the 44-yard run, he only had 29 yards rushing. he could have had more, because there was a couple times where he did run up the field where he ended up getting 3 or 4 yards, where if he would have gone 2 seconds earlier, probably would have gotten another good chunk of yardage. So I like that he moved in this direction, though, because this was the first time I think we've seen him in a game where he actually did that on his own, broke containment, and went off more than once. So I think there's definitely something he can build upon there.
And then CJGJ was back, right? And he made a difference. And then Carl Granderson, didn't he get a sack yesterday?
He had a sack, 2 quarterback hits, and a couple tackles.
Yeah. And then Davenport, y'all saw that highlight video of the sack Davenport got where he just blew up his offensive lineman?
Yeah, that's the only stat. He actually didn't end up getting credit for the sack. He just got a pressure. But I think I have a friend that takes note of all the pressures. He said he had 6 pressures in the game, which is
impactful.
Outrageous.
Yeah. That's impacting. Let's see how many words I can mess up today.
Crickets.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Oh, still a zero. I'm not quite still hungover from Saturday night, but I'm still not quite right.
Yeah. You do have a bit more color in your face today.
Yeah.
That was Jason. You being on the Instant Reaction show yesterday was about as useful as an insert metaphor here. That's something.
A damn wet pillow.
Right. It's on a mouse. Right.
Jason said hi. I think he, and then at the end he said bye.
I think I said two other things. I was more in a mood to listen.
You wanted the live experience,
right?
I get it, though. I know how you were feeling. I know exactly how you were.
And
feeling.
I didn't have to drive 4 hours. Yeah. I don't know how you did it.
Well, I listened to the game. Thankfully, it wasn't boring and put me to sleep. Unless James, did you have a different take on that?
The first half was really boring and I nearly turned it off. That's how boring it was.
Jeez, I might go back and watch the second half just to see it myself.
I wouldn't watch the first half. For sure.
No, I wouldn't waste my time. All right, that's all on the game. Some of the extra little fallouts. So did anybody pay attention to Cesar Ruiz and how bad he played? And is this a trend that we need to be concerned about? Because Jason, I think you brought it up 2 weeks ago. He's been playing pretty piss poor, especially considering what our expectations were.
He keeps blocking air when the play design is for him to pull and block. He blocks nothing. It's crazy.
I want video.
He throws his forearm out to the air. I mean, I don't know, unless there's an invisible guy that he sees that nobody else sees.
Is he? Maybe he needs LASIK.
He's related to Manti Te'o.
Oh. Is he? Is it because he's playing out of position? Is it because he doesn't have Ramchuk next to him? I mean, what's the problem here?
It very well could be that he just fucking sucks.
But he had so much promise. He played well last year. Like, did his suckiness get?
Did he?
Covered
did
up?
He play well last year?
I don't think
year?
He did.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think he did. I think that's in your memory. You think he did? He played well because the team was better.
Because McCoy and Ramchuk
everybody
are
was
healthy.
Watching Pete.
I think when McCoy and Ramchuk are healthy, it made him look not as bad. And right. Without somebody there, kind of babysitting a little bit and helping, I think that we're seeing him now, not the entire offensive line as a unit. We're seeing Ruiz.
Right. He has nowhere to hide now that Pete is not there to take attention away either. Yeah.
He was better when he played center earlier on this year when McCoy went down. He was better. But then that was the position he played in college. So.
And he can't play center because there's too many other injuries. Now, speaking of those, are we getting Ramchuk back this millennium?
I mean, he wasn't put on the IR and he was on the day of the game
He was like an
active
game time decision.
Yeah, he was inactive, and so there's reason to believe he should play.
Yeah, I do wonder if we'd have lost yesterday, they might have put him on the shelf for the season, but
they're part of the plan. They're in on the plan. They know what's up.
This is Gunn's plan, isn't it?
This is Gunn's plan. No, I think it's the Saints' plan to try and win as many games as they can. But, my plan is that we can win. It's not time to quit. It's not time to hate. We can win when we have 7 games left. Except there's 4 of these we can win.
At that time, what we were seeing, the 4 was aggressive.
4 out of 7 is not aggressive.
2 was the best that I
West knew it. We knew we were getting Kamara back. Kamara, and we knew we had guys coming back.
Yeah. It was definitely doable. It was doable. I know there was some skepticism, but considering the opponents, it's definitely doable.
I mean, true Saints fashion. I expect to see this heroic effort by Kamara. Taysom's going to play not really well, but he's going to be running the ball and making some exciting plays and getting 70 rushing yards and the occasional touchdown here. The defense is going to be heroic, and we're going to go 9-8 and miss it on a tiebreaker to some bullshit team like that we already lost to that we'll be tied with.
Do you want to go 9-8 because you want to enjoy the season, maybe even have a shot at the playoffs, or would you rather them lose and get a better draft pick?
Man, I was watching the game with a friend yesterday, and she said, would you take just beating Tampa Bay twice, like just win next week or not make the playoffs? And I was like, it's always been about making the playoffs to me. Like being a Saints fan during the really bad times when we had not even yet made the playoffs, that was like mythical. I mean, you probably remember it from your childhood, Jeff. Before the Saints had ever made a playoff, it was like we put that on the pedestal. Making the playoffs means that you have arrived. And so my brain may be warped by that upbringing, but I place a huge emphasis on
just getting in
playoffs. Just getting in. And once you get in, to be honest, once you get in, anything can happen. Last year's champions were Tampa Bay. They were a wild card.
That is true.
Well, and Tampa Bay was, 7-5 last year at this time in the season. Not saying that we're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think that. But and what Gunn's kind of alluding to, too, I think that we have a culture of being competitive and winning, that's going to lead to free agents that stay here and re-sign, possibly give us a hometown discount, free agents that want to come here and want to play for part of this organization. And there is no meeting where you're going in with a free agent going, well, you know, we had a shitty year last year, but let me show you the list of injuries we had. They don't care. Nobody's interested in that. Nobody's going to say that in a meeting. And so creating the culture of winning and being competitive and everybody pushing to be their best is the reason that we sign the best undrafted free agents every year. And we just show what we can do. I think it's important to, put our best foot forward and do everything we can to win as many games as possible, regardless of thinking about draft position.
And I know the team doesn't and shouldn't. The team, there's a certain level of competitive nature that's just baked into your DNA at the NFL level. And I don't believe any team ever plays to lose. Maybe some players take a little play off or game off here and there to protect their own selfish interests. But I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to compete. Everybody wants to show a good version of themselves. If not for the team, if not to win, then again, like you're saying, if I'm a free agent next year, or if I'm going to be asked to restructure, I don't want them to have any leverage over suggesting that I suck or I shouldn't get my money. But I think you both brought up a good point. As a fan, you're right. It is more important to get into the playoffs and just have I want to be in the tournament. As a fan, I want to be able to, I want that first, at minimum, week 1 of the playoffs. I get another Saints game out of it. I get, the longer the Saints are there, the more excited I am about the NFL. And then when it comes to the draft pick, what are we talking? A few draft picks. And the Saints, other than a couple of exceptions, are good drafters if they focus on the position that they okay, it's arguably good drafters.
The problem is
it doesn't matter where we pick, because we're going to trade up anyway.
Or if we go after Russell Wilson, then we're not going to have a first-round pick anyway.
Well, and I just think this team with if we get back to the health of what we can have, I'm not talking about Michael Thomas and people that are gone for the year, but you get Ramczyk back and you get Passanion back, who was having a very good season. You get these people back, and one, this is a defense that can slow down anybody or give anybody problems, whether it's passing or running. And you give the ball to Alvin Kamara enough times and he stays healthy without turning the ball over. Like, there is a really simple game plan of a way we can be at least competitive with anybody in the NFL. And I mean,
and if you match up well against, say, like your Green Bay,
Tampa Bay, we match up well with a team like that.
You could arguably have a shot in the tournament, in the playoffs, because the other teams that are going to be in the playoffs, if you get the matchups, you just got to get there. And then the question is, right, do you match up against your AFC opponent?
Speaking of Saints fans that want us to lose, we're Scott, on Super Bowl, guys. Scott, did you want to weigh in on this? Speaking of Saints fans that want us to lose.
I don't want us to lose. Just because I think we will doesn't mean I want us to.
I'm kidding with you, Scott.
I mean, phase one is done. We got three more phases in the plan to get to where, I guess, to get to 9-8.
But understand, Scott, if you're going to be a part of this movement this week.
Oh, I'm not part of it.
This
I'm
week
not
we part get of it. To I'm lose. Still no, under no. three. The cool thing about being on my plan. I know. Cool thing about being on my plan. This week we can lose.
I know.
So
I know.
We don't call in this insurance. Week. We don't call in the
what's my conversion
co-pay? Angry that we lost because we're going in. We're going in knowing that this week's a loss on my plan.
But if you win, all right. So here's my question: if you win this week, what does that say about your plan? Oh,
we might win the division.
why not first seed in the NFC? Oh,
never, so we could be mind. Top never seed.
Mind. Math might have something to say about that.
Yeah,
we we can get Jeff's Twitter math guy by 61% to just make up some numbers.
So Scott, if we want to look back on the tapes, I was with Scott on the one, maybe two games are winnable for the rest of the season. This was about when we had seven games or eight games left. Gunn, your plan was we can win the last three games plus the Jets game and we're in the playoffs.
And the Miami game.
And the Miami.
Right. Miami is one of the last three. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's accent right there.
That's
to be fair, Jeff and Scott's plan is still going to according to their plan too, because they were giving up that we could beat the Jets and nobody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody's plan is still alive.
Right.
Hey, no. I thought
but,
Scott
but yelled here's that we were my not point. Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm jumping ship off of
I just said less than three.
Scott's plan.
Mine was less than three.
It was zero or one is what it started at, and then after
and then
a bunch
it,
of back and forth,
it went less. It went to
less
three.
Than three.
Yeah, as is Taysom Hill's effect on people, he has converted me into a believer.
He's a pretty handsome guy, right?
I mean, right? If
you steady on there, Maddy.
I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do, but if a team focuses on shutting down Kamara, then that's the ball game. I don't see Taysom being able to win a game. Now, like I said, it's not an easy thing to do, but you have to understand we played the Jets yesterday. He's the worst, defense against the rush in the league.
The Bucs have got the best defense against the rush or one of the top defenses against the rush?
It was the best. I think we blew that up or they got blown up a few weeks ago.
The Bucs defense is remarkably similar to ours in that very, very, very stout against the run. And got some playmakers, but will give up big plays. They will surrender big plays on defense. And you see that. That's why their games tend to be high scoring. And their opponents tend to get a few points. Despite their defense being good and have the reputation of being good, they're similar to us in that they're stout against the run. They give up big plays on defense.
But before the Eagles game, we were the number one rush defense in the league. That obviously changed all that. And I don't know how many Bucs games y'all have watched this year. Obviously, they're winning a lot of games, and they've won seven games by 10 points or more. So that sounds pretty like they're great. They've got some problems, and they've got Barrett's still great on the line, and they've got Devin White, who's amazing. Their cornerbacks can screw up a lot. Carlton Davis had a really good game yesterday, but I've watched him have some bad games too, and they've struggled with health in their secondary.
Yeah, but you see that, and it's a good thing.
The problem is they're going to get the officiating advantage.
That's legit.
That's
legit.
That's what. Right. That's what. That's what's going to come back to fuck us this week.
Just but, Taysom, the offense with Taysom is not a sustainable winning offense.
Well, we're not saying that Taysom is the trigger of the offense. We're saying Kamara is. And I know you just said, like, if a defense decides to take him away, I mean, when does that happen? Like, I'm saying it's not easy. I know Kamara has not had a 200-yard game every
year. Their only weapon all season.
You can't just, like, take a linebacker and be like, oh, hey, you take care of Kamara, and then he'll just be out of the game.
Well, if Devin White might, you know, make him tear his ACL or something.
Well, now we have that on record.
Like you did with James.
Yeah, thanks for that.
That's out there.
Where did Devin White go to school?
LSU. Go Tigers.
It's a dirty bastard.
There's all people right. still mad at Devin White. After
There's a lot of people still mad at Devin White.
They're not going to be forgotten or forgiven going into this game. I hope.
But winning this game is not part of the plan, fortunately, because the Wes, what you said is like their one weakness is our biggest weakness also. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Their weakness is covering in the secondary. Well, that would be awesome if we had more than two
wide receiver.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that
we have two.
I don't know that we could beat the Falcons
on the roster, like listed by name. Yeah,
I think we will lose to the Falcons and the Dolphins. We might be able to beat Carolina, but it depends on what Cam shows up because we have trouble against rushing quarterbacks. So
Cam Newton is 0-11 in his last 11 starts as the Panthers quarterback.
He's played
well against us in the past.
I genuinely don't think it's out of the question that we could win this week.
I agree.
Genuinely don't. Look at what we've done to them the last three games.
If the yo-yo's on the upswing.
Did Davenport play the last time we played Tampa Bay?
I don't think so.
I don't believe.
I don't think he did.
All right.
And as we know, as the experienced Tampa Bay killers that we are, step one, he's getting to Tom Brady.
He did. He had three tackles and one tackle for a loss.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I hope Cam Jordan's but tweet also, is it. He's still in quarantine.
Trevor Siemian also played in that game. Offsetting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We got a quarter of Jameis Winston revenge.
Replay the game. All righty. Let's get into a little bit of pick-ems here.
Also, if we just remember, we just want to be honest about it, like Kevin White shows out against the Bucks.
He's had 100% of his catches this year against the Bucks.
38 of his receiving yards were against them. So
better watch out.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Uncle Baby Billy won the week with a 4-1 record, conveniently on the week that he didn't think his picks on video.
Oh, man, you think I'm smarter than the cat? Is that what you're insinuating?
I do. I'm accusing you.
You think I'm smarter than all you guys at picking games? Is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's 100% what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, thank you for the compliment.
You're right. You're right. It was written on the back of my hand. You're a smart, smart cheater. All right. Scott, you went 3-2 along with me. And then Wes, Jason, and James all went 2-3. Ben went 1-4, as is tradition. And then in the larger league, Allie Gibbs is on top with a 44-26 record, 629 winning percentage, followed by Jake with a 600 winning percentage, me with a 586 winning percentage. So you're not quite better than me, Gunn. Trevor Bruno, and then Drew, Big Easy Gaijon, Uncle Baby Billy. That's at seventh place, Uncle Baby Billy. Followed by Scott, you're losing to the cat. And by two games, Paul Perrette, Tom Ensign, Chris Former, Sans Hobbs, James, you are 500. Neil has reached the 500 mark, everyone. Welcome to the Not Losers Club, Neil. But the Losers Club is started off by Carp Mr. Coach Klein, Wes, Jambalaya Brothers, the Mailman, Ben, who is beating Jason by one game.
That's it.
Last place drummer. So Jason, you can take Ben this week if you get him.
Please, please do.
All right. At this rate, it'll take a 3 weeks to pass him up.
Yeah, right. So I don't have the list of games in front of me. Somebody want to spit out? We have a Saturday night game.
Yeah, I've got it. It's New England coming off a bye. They're 9-4 at Indy, who is 7-6. They are coming off a bye as well. Indy is actually favored by 2.
That's surprising to me with all the Patriots love going around.
I'll take the Patriots. Thank you for this Christmas gift.
Taking the Colts.
It's
at Indy, yeah?
It's at Indy. And
give me the Colts.
Taking the Pats.
So he's been sleeping. He's been acting a little funny today, and he's been sleeping in my secondary chair, and he heard that paper ripping, and he bounced right up.
Pickums is his cat, new catnip.
Jeff, was that your cat impersonation voice?
Yeah. You don't remember him? He took all the cats.
He took the Panthers. He took the Cardinals. He took the Bengals.
I'm going to go ahead and take them. I'm going to take the Pats as much as I don't want to. I think their defense is going to stop Jonathan Taylor. And a lot of fantasy teams are going to get wrecked because Taylor's going to be shut down and they're all riding him to what they hope will be victory in this week one of the fantasy playoffs.
Did y'all see the comparison of what's his name? Mac Jones and against Tom Brady in their first 8 games ever or something. And it's almost identical with Mac Jones having the edge in most of the statistics, like higher pass yards, more completion percentage. The only thing he didn't, I mean, same way, I can't remember about wins or anything, but like, it was kind of like scary as somebody who has to watch football for the next 20 years.
Did you see that on Twitter?
I did.
Did y'all see what this ambitious did?
Later.
You think it's fake? You think it's fake news?
No, what did he do, Gunn?
He picked Indianapolis.
He picked the Colts.
See, really? Now we're back.
Yay.
All right, next game.
Next game is the Washington football team. They are 6-7. They're coming off a loss to the Cowboys. They are at Philly. Philly is coming off a bye. So it's a division game. Is that Philly? Philly is favored by 4.
That's a lot of points to give up for Philly, but I just I got burned by Washington last week, so I'm gonna take Philly this week.
Well, I guess you're not gonna catch Ben this week.
But what didn't Washington have Jonathan Allen go on the COVID list today?
Eagles. Washington lost McLaurin during the game to a concussion, he's also lost Heinicke during the game.
Heinicke will probably be play, but I know.
I was telling Jeff, there's 37 positive COVID tests so far this week for in the NFL, and it's only Monday.
The NBA had to postpone their first game tomorrow with the Bulls. They got 10 players.
Yeah, the Premier League are probably going to have to postpone a game over here tomorrow as well.
Jeff, you got me down for the Eagles?
I do now.
Wrong podcast, James.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I'm talking about the NBA. This isn't the NBA podcast. Give me the Eagles, please.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles as well.
All right. You know what? With all these injuries to Washington, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I was originally going with Washington until I heard about the injuries.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that news before I made my pick, everybody.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, let's see what Uncle Baby Billy picks. Is he ready? Oh, look.
he's taking the football team. He's
taking Washington.
He's taking Washington.
I was expecting him to come out of the side that Gunn was on, but then I saw the paws on the other side.
I like he's not as pouncy. He's
pretty good.
He's more measured.
He's a little sleepy. He's a little sleepy today, but he did just, He saw he picked Washington football team there, which I'm fucking pissed about. But he thought his classic house cat trainer mistake of leaving the reward item on the table unattended, and he then started showing a very big interest in it. So I'm thinking now he might be a little more excited about his picks. Okay.
The next game is the Tennessee Titans. They are coming off a win against Jacksonville. They are 9-4. They are headed to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is coming off a loss to the Vikings. They are 6-6-1. This game is at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is a 2-point underdog. So they are getting two. Pittsburgh is getting two at home.
Hmm.
I'm going to take Tennessee.
I'm going to take the Steelers. Roethlisberger's got a little bit of magic left.
Derrick Henry's not back, no?
No, I don't think so.
When is he supposed to come back, by the way?
Playoffs is what they're hoping.
Playoffs?
Not week 17 or 18?
I mean, I haven't.
Not the fantasy playoffs. Originally,
they said that the hope was that he would be back for the NFL playoffs.
I'm going to take Tennessee on this one.
Yep. Tennessee, please.
I'll take the Steelers.
Scott, you took Tennessee?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow. As soon as Scott got done, he said Pittsburgh plus two. Did you see that? He put both paws on it.
Mm. Is that a lock of the week?
I don't know. He's being really weird, man. We need a better camera so y'all could see just how disinterested he appears to be just before making a pick.
Kind of like our listeners.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, the next game, the Cincinnati Bengals coming off a overtime loss to the 49ers are at Denver. Denver is coming off a win versus the Lions. Both teams are 7-6, and Denver's at home. They are 1.5-point favorite.
I don't want to take the Bengals right now because they're cats, but I will take the Bengals.
The Bengals just can't avoid being the Bengals. Like, they should be better than what they are. And even Burrow can't overcome the stink of the Bengals. So I am going to take the Broncos.
Yeah, the Bengals have fallen off a cliff. Give me Denver.
Is the Bengals' problem their defense?
Their problem is
their offensive line's still bad.
They were letting George Kittle run down the middle of the field unattended during the 2-minute drill, both in regular time and overtime in Sunday's game. They either have defensive breakdowns or scheming problems on defense, because that should never happen.
And Denver's strength is their defense.
Well, they got a good rushing attack.
It's not Teddy Bridgewater.
You got Melvin Gordon and Jamonte.
They're basically a quarterback away from being a pretty damn good football team, right?
I believe that's Russell Wilson's idea,
too.
Yeah. All right. Well, give me Denver for this one, then. Scott?
Rolling with Joey B.
Classic Scott.
That's part of the reason I put the Bengals in there.
It's like every week.
But as predictable as Ben picking the Falcons.
Hey.
Right.
They lost in overtime to a decent San Francisco team. They're not horrible. They're not the Jets.
All right, Uncle Baby Billy.
The moment you said his name, dude. You said his name, he tapped Denver -1.5.
Oh, good pick there. I like how he tapped it. He did like a little tap tap. That's the
taparoo.
I train cats pretty well, dude. I'm a good cat trainer.
All right, and now we move to our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. No.
Be of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit.
A pair of 2-11 teams face off this week.
Is that shitty enough for y'all?
Is that shitty enough?
It could be shittier than that.
The Houston Texans, coming off a loss to Seattle, travel to Jacksonville, coming off a loss to Tennessee. Jacksonville's having all kind of issues with their coach, apparently.
Are you telling me Urban Meyer's not working out?
Apparently he's not working out too well.
What's the latest on that?
There's just a lot of smoke. He's denying it.
The latest is they said they do not plan on moving away from him.
They're not going anywhere.
And this morning he had a press conference and he said, whoever the leak is within my organization, as soon as we find out who they are, they're gone.
Good luck,
Jaguars.
So it's not about the fact that I'm doing all the bad stuff. It's the problem is that somebody's telling everybody about all my bad stuff.
Sounds like a president I know. Anyway, Jacksonville is at home.
All of them?
They are, yes, all of them. And they are they're favored by 3.
Who is?
Jacksonville's at home. Jacksonville is favored by 3.
I'll take Jacksonville.
I'm going to have to take Houston with all the crap going on with Jacksonville right now. That's a media, just a distraction this week, so I'm taking Houston.
I am 100% taking Houston. Did y'all know that Trevor Lawrence only has 9 touchdown passes through 13 games?
Yeah, but he has like 4 national sponsors that he's got commercials for. So.
That's only 9 more than Jeff has.
That's it.
How many more than Taysom and Trevor combined?
Combined.
All right, so wait, you took Jacksonville, you said?
Me, I took Houston. Jason West took Houston, West took Jacksonville.
Okay.
Houston, please.
Yeah, I'm just taking the points. In a shitty matchup like this, give me the points. Not even taking a team.
Just points.
All right, Uncle Baby Billy's turn. Let's get his pick in.
Yeah, he's taking a little time on this one. You know, on one hand, his natural inclination is to go for the Jaguars because they are a cat. But I think he recognizes the foibles of Urban Meyer. So I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see him take Texas. Oh, now we've got his attention again. He's starting to consider making a pick. He's
Wes looks excited about this.
Oh, I know, Wes. The good news is the magic of radio is we can edit this out, but we can never undo the real time spent. So the listeners don't necessarily have to experience this.
All right, thank God for editing.
We do. Yes, thank God for editing. All right, you ready? Okay, come on, dude. You got to do something. Don't be. Oh, motherfucker.
Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, it's the Cats. Jaguars.
That's a stupid. By the way, lock of the week is Texans +3. Billy Gunn's world.
All right.
Hey, and Jeff, to answer your question or your sort of question, Trevor Siemian has 9 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this year. Taysom Hill, 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
How many rushing touchdowns does he have?
That's not what we're talking about.
I'm just asking a question. Touchdowns are touchdowns, no matter how you get
5.
Them.
5.
I bet you Jameis got more touchdowns than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, 14, didn't he, Jameis, before he got injured?
Yeah.
Wasn't he 14-3, wasn't it? 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
The more concerning thing is, Taysom, 4 of his interceptions were in one game, so.
He is, as per the tradition.
Right. All right. Recapping those games.
Recapping the games. New England at Indy. Indy's favored by 2. Washington at Philly. Philly's favored by 4. Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is getting to. Cincinnati at Denver. Denver is favored by 1.5. And Houston at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is favored by 3.
All right.
Get your picks in, folks.
Get them in now Saturday because you threw
yes,
a Saturday.
Yes, we have a Saturday game.
Yeah,
so
very
New England
Indy
is Saturday, so you need to have it in.
Yeah, so I'll tweet that too because I think we have about 5 or 6 players that get their picks in on Sunday morning. So make sure you get them in early.
And we just text those to you, right, Jeff?
Get them however you want. You can mail them by letter. call them in through your bookie.
I'm going to send a courier pigeon.
I'll tell you this much, anything but tweet.
Discord voice chat?
What?
Discord voice chat?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Just make sure you have hashtag pick'ems. As long as you have that, it will be recorded.
Right. All right. Let's do a. I mean, we kind of did game preview already. We talked a lot about Tampa Bay in this upcoming game. So instead, one thing we didn't talk about was the not the streaker yesterday, but the person who ran out onto the field. Y'all might not have seen that. They might have not put it on TV because they like to censor stuff. But apparently, there was a Saints fan who ran out onto the field and I don't know if he made contact with DeMario Davis or not, but the person was tackled and removed.
Tackled near DeMario Davis.
If you're going to pick a Saints player to go towards, you probably wouldn't pick DeMario Davis, would you?
He should have gone after Ruiz.
Yeah.
I think God was probably telling him to go towards DeMario Davis.
I did confirm today the security guard that made the tackle was signed by the Jets this morning.
I think the guy was running on the field to try to catch a ball to try out for wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, that wasn't a fan. That was actually the Saints' fifth receiver.
Yeah. That was James's cousin.
Kwan. That was Kwan Baker. Yeah.
Harris was drunk again and ran out on the field.
Okay. All right, and then real quick, like, what is our injury report going to look like later this week?
Good news is it didn't look like anybody got hurt during this game, so there's not going to be anything new to it. Hopefully the new additions are people, you know, being limited practices and full practices that didn't practice. And hopefully there's no Davenport new injury to report sometime in the next 2 days.
And hopefully we get our COVID guys back.
Yes.
That'd be Cam Jordan would be one of them. But he's
Ingram. Cam said he's still in quarantine as of today, so I would assume that means he doesn't have a negative test yet.
That's concerning. He just has
to test negative 2 days in a row, which, I mean, him being vaccinated, him having it for 12 straight days is going to be unlikely.
Jason, do your dogs want to make picks?
I think that's Uncle Baby Billy on the screen and got jealous.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, final thoughts, everybody.
You doing score predictions?
That's a good final thought. Yeah, what's your score predictions for the game? Scott, you go first since you're...
Oh, I'm not going first.
Oh, you asked for it. Who wants to go first then? Who's got a score?
Saints 26, Tampa 20. They pull the upset. They play very well against Tampa. They have Brady's number. Davenport's going to wreak havoc. That's my prediction.
24-21 Saints.
I'll do 23-21 Bucks.
18-6 Bucks.
Is that a touchdown and miss extra point?
No, probably not.
We make kicks now.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to miss three. They're going to miss three extra points too.
So did you do a 12-point win just to cover?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tease. Yeah, I want to make sure that they really beat the shit out of us. So I'm probably going to tease them from the Saints from +11.5 to +17.5, and that way the Bucks will win by 18. Just that's the way my world works. So that's what I can do for the rest of the Saints. Well, no, wait, we don't want that to happen, do we? I don't know. I'm confused. My own thing has confused me now, James. But good question. I'm sorry. I wish I could answer it for you.
He just got him to talk himself into a circle. Yeah.
I think we're up to 20 puffs now.
I'm going to say 28-10 Bucks.
Ooh.
Wow.
Damn.
That would cover my teaser. So, see, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
I thought I was going to be the bad one. So, okay, yeah, I had like 27-20 Bucks. Wow. Man, you have no confidence in the offense.
I mean, is Sean Payton going to wear a visor this week?
Oh, by the way, the answer to that, because he was asked on the, and you'll never guess who asked him about it.
Amy and Kat Terrell. They both asked. No, I think it was either Amy and Jeff or Amy and
Simon. I think it was Kat. And his answer was that he did not like the visor or hat, whatever it was,
that was in
his locker. Yeah, he just didn't like the one that
he said it was too cold for a visor, so he didn't wear it. Maybe he won't wear one anymore since we got the win. I mean,
he did make a little wink wink to being superstitious.
I just feel like as far as this game goes, you know, as bad as Zach Wilson looked yesterday, and their receivers dropped a lot of balls for the Jets. I mean, they dropped a lot of balls.
That was a lot to do with the ball placement on the throws, though.
Yeah,
there
was one, I don't remember who it was. It might have been a running back or something, or that dropped like a couple, like three of them. Or I think it was Ty Johnson. But anyway, I don't see Brady missing those throws, and I don't see their Bucs receivers dropping those throws. So I just think we're going to get down early and we're going to have to pass the ball to win.
But in the regular season for the Bucs against the Saints, Tom Brady throws the ball to the Saints a lot.
That's true. And we did forget to mention that Mike Evans gets to visit his dad this weekend.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's a special time.
Uh-huh.
For the holidays. Visit his dad for the holidays.
That joke didn't land last time we played him, so I hope
it didn't.
Back. So, final thoughts. Only if you got them. James, nothing? Wes?
Yeah, I mean, this is where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to get all excited like we're going to beat the Bucks. I mean, it's be competitive, get some people back healthy, and then, I mean, we've got three winnable games after that. Like Gunn and I talked about, it's not impossible, though. This is a team that we do match up well against. We haven't lost to them in the regular season in 3 years. Anything can happen. This defense can make some plays.
And Kendall's not dead.
He's not.
And Yellowstone was good this week.
Much better. Yeah, great episode.
All right, Gunn?
He jacked off a horse.
That was hilarious when he jacked off the horse.
Who hasn't done that?
We know Ben has.
Jeff, say Gunn again.
Gunn?
This week, I don't normally plug my show, but this week, Devin from Hold the Mayo is coming on, and we're probably going to talk about broken glass.
I saw his video.
It was like half of fucking North America did. It's viral again. But like I commented. I had the first comment under it, and I had like 12,000 impressions or something. So, you know.
My thing is, like, I get there's a natural tendency to want to blame the mayor, but, like, this is a police issue, and you now have a new sheriff.
Jeff, so. you know when you actually have a mayor's race, and you have more than one mayor candidate, they have a mayoral debate, and they televise this mayoral debate, and they ask the candidates, what do you intend to do about crime? Not a single mayoral candidate ever says, that's not my fucking job.
They should, because it's a misconception. You think it's their problem? No, it's the sheriff's problem.
Well, the sheriff just got replaced.
Right. So
by a guy that Zuckerberg and Soros funded, just dumped $200,000. Zuckerberg dumped $200,000 into the incumbent against the incumbent.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
You just got a new pair. You just got a new sheriff. So get ready.
Your windows will be.
It ain't gonna. I don't think it's gonna get better.
That's Gunn's plan, everybody.
My plan.
People out there are really saying there's a crime problem in New Orleans and stuff needs to be fixed.
Just recently, it just kind of happened.
Is there a spike lately?
You'll be telling me there's potholes in the road.
It used to be such a nice place, but now just suddenly, it's not anymore. There's murders and carjackings and just wild, running free, unstoppable. No one gives a shit crime. And until, gosh,
I don't might be onto something there with Drew Brees, Jeff. He doesn't live in the city anymore, does he?
I'm just telling you that
he's got a hotel room.
Drew's going to come back and run for mayor.
So Drew Brees, as long as Drew Brees,
I'll vote against Drew Brees.
In the city of New Orleans, everything was great.
Again,
the minute he left, everything fell to shit. Everything fell to shit.
If Drew Brees was running for mayor against LaToya Cantrell, I'd vote for LaToya Cantrell.
I think Gunny's run for mayor.
Mayor.
All right. Who hasn't given a final thought, Jason or Scott?
The plan is coming together. 9-8 is within our grasp.
such a weird thing to say, like 9 yeah. and 8.
Had to get used to it, but yeah.
Scott?
All right, I'm good.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. Let's thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week, telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Should I really include the Pelican Plunge or the Premier League Podcast anymore?
So
I was worried about the Pelican Plunge. I think I was, take that out.
I'm going to have to do one. I was waiting until Zion's return to do one.
So next year.
Well, just keep waiting. Yeah, just keep. Well, just
next
stick year,
is it
going to
be the net? Is it going to be the Nets?
No one can really
year?
Hold at anything
point,
against you,
at,
Jason.
At this point,
it's going to be the Knicks plunge
just wait
next
till
year
Zion
when he's
comes
on that
back,
team.
Then do a show.
So what it is at this point, the Pelican Plunge and the Premier League Podcast are kind of like annual specials. It's like the COVID special, you know? The Halloween.
No, story. Me and Ben will be doing a Premier League podcast before Christmas.
Oh, okay. So that'll be 3 this year?
No, 5.
All right. And then follow each show on Twitter. You can listen to the shows to get their Twitter handles. Follow us on Facebook to get the live streams. Although our Twitter handle is Dome Patrol PCast. That's the one you want to follow first. And then if you want to listen to us or talk to us on game day, you can join our Discord server. Just DM us on Twitter and we'll get you invited to the Discord server. And, you know, there's still that old fashioned way of listening to the show. I think they call it Dome Patrol Podcast.
Back home.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, squeaker donkey.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
Every time I write a rhyme, people think it's a crime to tell them what's on my mind. I guess I'm a criminal. I don't gotta say a word. I just split in the bird and keep going. I don't take shit from no one. I'm a criminal. Every time I write a rhyme, these people think it's a crime to tell them what's on my mind. I guess I'm a criminal. I don't gotta say a word. I just split in the bird and keep going. I don't take shit from no one. I'm a criminal. Every time I write a rhyme, these people think it's a crime to tell them what's on my mind. I guess I'm a criminal. I don't gotta say a word. I just split in the bird and keep going. I don't take shit from no one. I'm a criminal. Every time I write a rhyme, these people think it's a crime to tell them what's on my mind. I guess I'm a criminal. I don't gotta say a word. I just split in the bird and keep going.